Peace to the goddesses, peace to the guys. This is another episode of Convos with Living Legends. And I'm your host, God with Many Visions, and this is a wonderful time to be alive. First and foremost, we want to give a big shout out to the guests on episode 17, to Dr. Haru. Big shout out to him for coming on the platform to speak about the history of melanated people and why is it important for us to know our history instead of his story. But today, I have a very special guest.
He's actually younger than me, but I look at him as a bigger brother, as my big brother, because he's
very wise for his age. And the places this young man is going, he's going a lot of places, and I can't wait to see. I'm like a big fan of his. You know, with no further ado, Eldridge Washington, please, God, please tell the people a little bit about yourself and everything you got going on.
First of all, let me just say, brother, thank you for honoring me with the opportunity to sit on your platform. A guy with many visions is someone, you're not only a guy with many visions, you're a guy with many friends, a guy with many fans, because the community see your energy that you put out daily, and we appreciate you for that. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on this platform. It's definitely an honor. Go ahead.
No, for me, it's a pleasure to have you on, because first and foremost, the things, like how I first met you, and the reason how I met you is so fascinated. You had the platform Spendify. And right. When people understand what Spendify, the reason why you created Spendify was basically to help businesses, melanin-owned businesses, network with melanin-owned customers, You know, like, you created a platform where people could go on an app and find these businesses. Like, to me, that's genius.
Correct.
Like, what gave you that idea to even create a platform as such?
Oh, man, it was honestly Sankofa, the concept of Sankofa, go back and fetch it. It's where we look to our past to build our future. You look at all of our ancestors, man, they have been preaching economic freedom for a long time. You can go back as far as Marcus Garvey, Dr. King, Malcolm X. Our ancestors have been telling us to do for self. And if you look at where we are as a people, a lot of times the disconnect is our disconnect to our culture, history, and our heritage. And Marcus Garvey said that a people without a connection to their culture, history, and heritage is like a tree without roots. And when you think about Black people as a tree, and if we have been cut from our roots, you begin to see we don't have much fruit being bared. People like Sojourner Truth was fruit. Kwame Ture, that was fruit. Harriet Tubman was fruit. Frederick Douglass was fruit. Khalid Muhammad, that was fruit. Who is our fruit now? And we're not really seeing it as much. Or the fruit is not, the harvest is not as plentiful because we're not connected to our roots. So Spendify came out of me trying to connect back with the assignment that our ancestors left us. And I believe technology is something that our ancestors didn't have that we are not leveraging for the fight. We leverage it for everything else, but we're not leveraging it enough for our liberation. And I feel like technology can be that equalizer. And that's why Spendify was created. I wanted to make every Black business visible. I wanted to recreate a digital Black Wall Street. I wanted to eliminate the excuse of why we don't spend our money with ourselves. And out of that, that platform was birthed. We made some noise. We did a lot of great things. Ultimately, I ended up leaving the platform. But it still is in existence. My co-founder still has it.
And you see, to me, that is so dope, because if people understood, you know, who you are as a man is fantastic. Like, for me, I'm so grateful for you that you invited me to Black Man Lab. And what people don't know about Black Man Lab is basically a safe haven. I consider it a church for, you know, melanin brothers of all ages, as young as 4 and as old as 85, who gather together and we communion in fellowship with one another. in which at the end of each, at the end of each session, we all lock arms together and we say this wonderful phrase. I forget the queen's name. May she forever rest in power. Yes. May she forever rest in power. And we all chant together, I'm a link in this chain and it won't break here. And whenever I see one of our fellow comrades of Black Man Lab, that's the first thing I do. I link arms with that brother and say, I'm a link in this chain and it won't break here. When you hear such a phrase, what does that mean to you? Especially when it's brothers in arms together.
I look at it, I mean, see our people climbing up a mountain, right? And we all are climbing with one arm because we have to hold on to somebody and pull them up with the other arm. And that person is doing the same thing. And if we are all links and we are all dependent on each other to get to the top of this mountain, I'm not going to be the reason why the chain breaks. So whatever the hell I got to do, I got to hold on. I'm going to do that. So what does that look like in real life? Holding on in real life is, you know what? I have to apply more patience in my existence with my people than I do with my counterparts. Because you know what? This might not have been the best business experience, but I need this sister to win, because if this sister or this brother wins, this is somebody that looks like me that's going to hire other people that look like me, and they're going to stay in a neighborhood full of people like me. And if they win, I'm ultimately going to win off of that, right? So that's what it looks like. I'm a link in the chain, not going to break. It looks like patience. It looks like opportunity. If I have every dollar in your pocket, look at it as an opportunity. If you got $100 on you, you got 100 opportunities to make somebody else's life better. So now I'm going to make sure I don't break the opportunity by giving that dollar to somebody else outside my community. That's what it looks like to hold on, be a link in the chain, and don't let it break with you. It also looks like, so many examples that we can give just on being there for our people and stepping out. And guess what? Holding on is uncomfortable. A lot of the times when we get uncomfortable, when we don't like something, we let go. Holding on, being a link in the chain, it won't break with me. I know my arm is tired. I know it feels like about to fall off, but I'm going to hold on, because if I hold on, this person above me is going to hold on, and ultimately we will get to where we're trying to go. So that's what that phrase looks like to me. It's not being that weak man out.
No, I share, man. That's why I celebrate you. And as I celebrate you, there's one thing that you got going on that I truly love. To me, your podcast is nationally syndicated, in my opinion. Highly. Your podcast is just Eldridge over episodes, like 104, if I'm not mistaken, at this present moment.
Yes, sir.
I've listened to all 104. And I'm a big fan of this podcast. And to me, you nationally syndicated. You just don't know it yet. And with such a heavy platform that you created and the places that you're going with this platform, how rewarding is it for you? That, because it's just like Converse with Living Legends. You bring folks and you celebrate them, especially the ones that, you know, help get you to the point that you are. How rewarding is it for you to have a platform as such, to the point where it's branched off to create other opportunities for others?
Man, it's rewarding. Like, let me just say this. I realized early that my purpose in life was the progression of Black people. Like, I know that's why I was put here. So everything I do is to do that. From when I started my first nonprofit, MADE, Motivated Adults Developing Excellence, that was to progress better leaders in our young people. That was a youth organization. When I started Spendify, it was to progress our Black businesses, because I feel like entrepreneurs are the cornerstones of our community. And if we build them up, we build them up as pillars, our communities will never fall, right? And then Just Elders Media, I understood. I kept getting a lot of pushback. When I worked with youth, I got a lot of pushback of working with youth. Like, it was hard. When I'm trying to get people to buy Black, I got a lot of pushback there. And I just noticed our people listens to the machine. Our people listen to the machine. Prime example, the machine told us it was okay to talk about Trayvon Martin. It was okay to talk about Breonna Taylor. Why we ain't talking about Julian Smith here in Georgia? You know what I'm saying? Why are we not talking about all of these countless brothers and sisters that are losing their lives in our backyards, but we're talking about ones that are syndically announced because the machine said it was okay. The machine said it was okay to be black and buy black. And when Target started putting black businesses in their stores, now everybody want to buy black. And I can only say that because in 2016, when I started Spendify, this black stuff wasn't cool. Now, we were making it look cool, but everybody that's doing this black stuff now wasn't doing it back then. You know, I tell people I'm having a Soulja Boy moment. I feel, you know, I ain't saying I'm the first, because I understand there are people like Dr. Clyde Anderson. If it wasn't for him and his book, Powernomics, Spendify would have never been here. I would have never even thought of the concept if it weren't for that brother. But when I'm talking about more so of leveraging technology the way we were leveraging it, creating brands the way we were creating it specifically for the mission of black economics, I would argue that we were in the top first group of people to do that. And I see that it's not cool like it was cool, like it's cool now. So a lot of that is because we don't control our narrative. We don't control our voice. And that's all Jess Eldridge Media is. Jess Eldridge Media is creating a platform where we can say what we want to say, when and how we want to say it without the threat of being kicked off of your platform. Like a Roland Martin, like a, you know, ESPN person. Like, we can say what we want to say, when and how we want to say it, and it's our voice. We can make an announcement, ring the alarm about a person that was killed, and thousands should show up. So I understand with my platform, I'm just trying to control our narrative. That's all I care about.
Now, I'm totally with you on that. And to me, you're like the leader of the new school. And what I mean by that, it's like, yeah, me and you are two separate generations, because you in your early 30s, I'm in my early 40s. But to me, your generation is the generation that's actually taking that blueprint that my generation, because I feel like my generation, we the generational curse breakers, and we're doing everything we can to break these curses that's been holding us back. But what I love about your generation is the fact that even though there's some Who's still lost in the sauce, but most of y'all, for the matter of that, you're actually taking that initiative to learn from our mistakes and become greater than us. And I love to see that, because you never want the generation behind you to do worse than you. You always want that generation to do better than you. And to me, you're the leader of the new school. So everything that you've been creating is like you're actually following that blueprint towards our greatness, bringing our people back to greatness. Yes, it's going to take a while. Yes, my children may not be able to see when we get back to what we once were. But I know deep down inside, their children and their children's children will be able to see that. And I feel like you are one of the ones who's part of that crusade who's going to help us get back to that. Mm. So for that, I have to celebrate you for that, my brother.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I'm just trying to do what I know. I got a phrase, it's the CC formula. You cannot critique without creating. You can't complain without creating. When I see something, I complained about media for a long time, complained about radio personalities not promoting and talking about what I feel like need to be talked about. So I created something to do that.
No, I'm extremely happy about that. So here's the main question I ask you. You know, with everything that's been said, how do we bridge the gap between the generations? Because more times than not, you know, my generation may look at your generation and say, you know, we tend to say a lot of BS, saying, oh, y'all not like us. Y'all never grew up like us. Y'all don't know what it's like to go through hell and back and things of that nature. But how do we change those narratives between these generations and stop kind of, because sometimes I feel like my generation could be condescending to your generation, right? But what my generation don't realize, that you guys, y'all got it. Y'all fearless. So how do we bridge the gap between these generations where we help you guys to be greater than us, where we can lend y'all our shoulder so you could climb on that shoulder to get to the mountaintop?
How do we pretty much, it sounds like you're saying, how do we bridge the gap?
Yes, sir.
I think through what you're doing, through dialogue, right, and through both of us willingly happen to, it has to be on open on both ends, willing to serve. You know what I'm saying? The way you big me up in my platform, you know I do the same thing with you and every time I can. Like, we got to be willing to serve each other and also acknowledge when we are approaching that person's strength or that generation's strength, like, versus their weakness. Look, we're really good at this. Y'all are really good at that. So when we're really good, let us take the wheel right here, right? We might be better at speed racing. Y'all might be better at crisis driving on the ice and snow. Okay, you got to be a little bit more experienced to drive on the snow. So, like, I think acknowledging the strengths of each other, respecting those strengths, and then bowing down respectfully when it's time to.
And to ask you this, to corroborate that, how vital do you feel that it is for us to really band together, especially in these days and this time and age?
You said, give me the question one more time.
How vital do you feel it is for both generations to really blend together and start understanding each other in this time and age?
You know, for us as a people, it's very important because we can't do it alone. The family is our strongest attribute and it's our strongest asset. The reason why the Black family was so strong, because there are so many elements and so many weapons and so many resources inside of the family. So once we begin to interact with each other even more, we'll understand everything that we need is right here. The reason why people talk about, there's a narrative of people that say you need white people to succeed. I know you heard it before.
Oh, too many times.
Whenever you hear a person say that, I want you to investigate into their connection to not only our community, but their own family. You will learn to see that that person is very disconnected. And they feel that way because they lack access to our power, which is our family.
Okay.
So once we begin to work together, and once we begin to truly get to know each other and commune with each other, we will know, oh dang. It's like being at a party and they be like, oh man, I ain't know you print flyers. I needed to buy some flyers the other day. That's the same concept. Everything we need is with us right now.
That is true. And like for me with this platform, like I hate to speak on the problems because we already know what the problems are. And I'm a solution-based brother. You know, so I'm glad these are the solutions you brought up. But with everything that's going on, especially how everything's against us and we're going through a very systemic time, especially in America, when you think about it, everything is systemic. How do the generations band together to combat this system that's against us? Because really and truly, it's a big mental warfare. It's both mental and spiritual. Like, how do we finally overcome this mental and spiritual against the Black family, against the Black man, against the Black woman, who's the foundation of life? How do we combat that together? Because more times than not, we tend to separate from each other.
Right.
And it makes it easier for them to conquer us and destroy us. How do we band together to stop that from happening? From going any further, it's already happened. How do we stop it from happening any further?
Like I said, I think it goes back to us really being intentional with building with our people. And like I said, you have to start on levels. If you ain't really comfortable on a massive level, start with how do you build closer with your family, your personal family. I believe everybody's personal family has a remnant or a piece of every personality that we see within our community if we do a deeper investigation of our family. Then from there, you got to begin to be more intentional in serving your community. And once you begin to do that, and once you begin to really get to know, love, and support each other, you will begin to see that we need each other to win. You know what I'm saying? It would naturally happen. We would naturally begin to protect each other, take care of each other, but we just have to build that relationship. What that looks like, I don't think it's an overnight thing. I think it's definitely a process, but I think that is the key to us combating this system, is to building up each other even more.
That's what I'm talking about. And I pose this question to you. At the stage that you are in life, I know you got so much going on. What would you tell the 10-year-old you at this present moment in your life? What would you tell the 10-year-old you? What advice would you give the 10-year-old you? And how would you aid the 10-year-old you to get to where you wanted to go?
First of all, I was a cool-ass 10-year-old, right? And I would tell the 10-year-old, like, bro, you don't even realize how much cooler you're going to be when you get older, right? So never lose that. That's the first thing I would tell them. But then I would also tell them to really pay more attention to your parents. Like, I learned so much subconsciously from my parents because they were entrepreneurs. And I learned a lot through just watching them, right? But if I would have been more inquisitive and I would have asked more questions earlier, I would have learned more earlier. So those are my two things, man. Stay cool and pay attention to your parents. My parents taught me a lot of lessons, good and bad, just through watching their journey.
Nah, I like that. So 20 years down the road, what will you tell? Because I know in 20 years, you'll be 50, right? If I'm not mistaken, over 50.
Yeah.
What would you tell the 50-year-old you in the future? What would you tell that man?
Man. So what would I ask him, or what would I tell him?
What would you tell him? You know, what advice would you give him? Or how proud would you be of him?
You know, based off where, if I work my plan, what I'm working right now, you know, I would tell him, man, enjoy yourself, right? Do exactly what you are. Because a lot of what I do, I love it. I definitely love my work. And I have no resentment towards it. But I do know a lot of stuff that I do is shifted or molded in the narrative of how is this for the people. The 50-year-old me, I'm like, bro, you have been consistently in this movement doing this work since you were 15 years old. Really 12 is when I started doing movement and organizing work. Now, you know, what's that thing that you want to do that's necessarily not movement? And it's okay to do that. Like, what's that thing? What is it? And then try it.
Yeah, man, I can already see this 50-year-old you. He's going to be a well-known activist. Not only that, he's going to be a well-known content creator. You know? And, like, I got to say, I have the pleasure of knowing you, young man, because the amount of things you're working on, like, you working on a whole bunch of things. Can you please tell the people what you got going on? Like, because, you know, I feel like I'm bragging so much for you. Like, you got to help you got to help me brag about you.
Nah, man. So Just Sales and Media, first and foremost, is where we at. We are a podcast, a full podcast production company, but a full-blown media company. Right now, we're producing podcasts. We have a couple on our roster right now. Just LG Podcast is the flagship show that is mine. We have a show called That's Law with attorney Durante Partridge. We're giving free game every Thursday just for entrepreneurs and creatives. Got a couple of other shows that are pending that are not out yet, like Cool and Conscious with Cree. Cree is an activist here in Atlanta, and we just talking about the balance of, yeah, you can be cool, you can be yourself. But we have a responsibility to be conscious as well. We got Where to Party At, hosted by Sabalone. That's our political podcast, really just breaking down politics in a way where everybody can understand them, respect them, and participate in them. Simply Paulette, that's my mother's podcast.
Super excited about that. Mom Dude's got a podcast?
My mother has a podcast.
I got to tune into that.
Yeah, we're excited, man. Then I'm working on one, working on something now. This is hot press, right off the press. Dear Entrepreneur is a new brand that I'm building. Dear Entrepreneur is a brand I'm building just to build up entrepreneurs in our community. DEAR is an acronym for drop everything, and then there's R, verbs. So one is drop everything and read. It's an entrepreneur book club where once a month we take a business book, we read it, apply it, and see how we can grow from it. Drop everything and relax. That's when we doing entrepreneurs retreats and trips and getting entrepreneurs out. Drop everything and run. That's when we encourage entrepreneurs to be physically fit. So Dear Entrepreneur is a new brand that I'm actually getting ready to release. So nobody knows this. This is an exclusive launch just for your podcast.
Man, first and foremost, I'd like to know, how can Convos with Living Legends join this wonderful roster on Just Eldridge Media?
Hey, look, man, that is a conversation, believe it or not, we have had in the back office. You know my number two man, Keith. You are definitely a friend of the podcast, and we are a fan of yours just as much as you are a fan of ours. In the process of just figuring out what that looks like, we started out with creating new content. All of the content and shows that are on there are original shows. But we want to look at what does the process of acquiring or licensing content looks like. So that's the next phase of it. And you're definitely somebody we want to look at. So I see you. Stay consistent. Keep building. And don't blow up too wet where I can't afford you. That's all.
Listen, man. Right now, I'm free 99 because I'm still learning how to monetize. You know, I'm still learning to monetize, you know, monetization of this platform. It's not easy. I don't got that many listeners, but the ones I do have, those are the ones that are meant for me, because I've come to the conclusion I'm not meant for everybody. So for that I'm meant for.
Well, you got a lot. And let me just, this is how I break down listeners to people. Let's say you had 30 listeners. I'm going to do a low number.
Okay.
Let's say you got 30 listeners. In the room you're recording your podcast in right now, if 30 people were in that room, you would be like, oh, shit, it's kind of packed in here. And that's how you have to look at your listeners. You got 30 people that's sitting in the room with you every week. What can you say to activate those 30 people to invite one more person in that room? And then how can we take those 60 people to invite one more person in that room? And then how can we get that 120 to write one more person in that room? So all you have to do is begin to only focus on your 30. Too many times people focus on the million that don't give a fuck about you instead of the 30 that's rocking with you. So let's just keep having this conversation with 30 people. Look, I'm having a conversation about I'm passionate, I care about, with 30 people that give a fuck about me. That's all I need.
Man, I gotta agree with that formula, because I'm basically around that range of fans, like core fans that I have, is 25 to 30 people. And every Saturday, Sunday morning at midnight, you know, my podcast published. So the good thing about it, the people that I send it to, they actually take their time and listen it to. You know, I'd say 75% of the people that I send a link to, you know, at times I would send it to others. They may not listen it, or they may. But to me, I don't even look at the listeners really and truly. I look at that. I just look at the ones that come back and hit me up and tell me, like, yo, this was a dope-ass podcast. The ones who give me their feedback, I cherish those, because they're not obligated to give me their feedback. But the mere fact that they give me the feedback shows that they appreciate what I had to say, or what my guests had to say, and they appreciate the platform. So anybody who shows love, I'm going to always be appreciative of you, whether you listen one time or you listen to all the episodes. I'm so appreciative of everybody who's taking the chance to give me that opportunity to speak to them and speak on topics that will only aid us as, you know, as a people, you know. Nice. So, you know, with this podcasting game, you know, I don't look at the numbers because I remember I've created other platforms and it was all about the numbers for me. But when I came to the conclusion, numbers really don't matter. It's really about the people that you touch, the people that who have been affected by the work that you put out there. Those are the people that you truly cherish, and realizing that, you know, at the end of the day, if it's meant to happen for me to have 1 million fans, it's gonna happen. But if it's not, by all means, but I'm gonna appreciate those that I've touched and I was able, you know, to affect in a positive manner.
Right.
You know, in a positive manner. And like, where do you see the podcasting game or the media going for melanin people? Because that's nowadays when you look around, everybody has a podcast. Like,
podcasting right now is where Facebook was when it was only college students. It's still very new. As many people as you see on it, it's so many more that's not on it. There's about 5,000 podcasts being started every day in the market or being published on an RSS feed. Saying that to say, in the next 5 years, podcasting will disrupt audio consumption the way Airbnb did, hotels, Uber did, taxis is going down. So with that being said, Black people just need to stay in position. Nothing is ever cool without us. So be that person that is in position, who's already been consistent. So as more listeners come over, they're going to be looking for what we have to talk about. And just be ready for the wave.
Man, the wave is coming strong. that wave is coming strong. You know, people better be prepared. They better be able to swim. Because this wave is going to hit a lot of folks. And with everything going on, like, I can't wait. Me and you, we got to definitely talk, brother, because I definitely got joined the Just Eldridge Media, you know, with what I got going on, because where you're going far places. To me, I look at you as the Black Effect. Mm. Your media, I compare it to Black Effect. But, you know, a smaller version of Black Effect, but the potential to be greater than Black Effect. And to me, Charlamagne is doing a great job with that media, but I know you, and I'm going to be biased. I don't care what anybody tell me. People better watch out for Just Eldridge Media because it's about to blow up.
I appreciate that, bro. I feel the same way. You know, shout out to Charlamagne and what he's doing, but even what he got going on, it's not reflective of what we're really trying to do.
Nah, I could see that, but you know, for me, I don't know why I use it as a barometer, because you know we all kind of look up to the brother in some shape or form.
It's
just a footnote to how great you can be, and even greater, because there's so much. I know you got so much in store. You know, so much in store, and like the lineup. I just heard you mention the lineup of shows you got in the works, man. I'm ready for her podcast. I gotta hear Mom's, because Mom said that wonderful thing. Mama said, "Give up them yams." the topics you got on your podcast, brother. I'm telling you. Yes, brother. You know, I gotta say I'm so appreciative of you coming on and checking with us. You know, big shout outs to you, because the lineup that you have on your platform, I can't wait to hear each and every one of these folks. And I know, you know, everybody got something to say. Whoever you bring on is a very solid person, primarily your mother, you know, especially when your mom said, you know, she, you know, shorty got to give up the yams. You know? I'm telling you, the titles you got on your podcast, man, yo, you're like a shock jock in so many ways, but the same way you bring shock value is the same way you talk some gems. The people you bring on, they speak on gems. They say a lot of gems, and whatever you got going on, man, I'm gonna always support you 100%, man. That's why I had to have you on this podcast, to celebrate you, to honor you.
Look, I was wondering when I was gonna get on. I've been seeing you releasing. I was like, hey, I brought my boy on about 3-4 times in my podcast.
No, you know you're a busy guy, man. You're a busy guy to get on, man.
You know, I've been patiently waiting, brother. So I'm glad I made it.
Man, listen, man, nigga, we made it. Like, like he said, nigga, so look, we
brother,
made
I will say this. This is my official drop. Cut it up, use it how you want to use it. This your boy Eldridge, CEO, founder of Just Eldridge Media, host of the Just Eldridge podcast. And I am telling you, when I'm not listening or working on my show, I am tuning in to my guy, Conversations with Living Legends. This is my boy, guy with many visions. He the man. He's an intellectual. He's a gentleman. And lady, he's a professional side nigga. Fuck with him.
Yo, I like that. You're a professional. Yo, he can't. People will never let that down. People will never let that down. But I love it, man. I love it. So I'm going to ask you one last question. Where do you see yourself 10, 20 years down the road with everything you got going on? Where do you see your greatness? Where do you see your greatness going?
10, 20 years down the road, I would hope that by then we have had a piece of the marketplace as it pertains to a solid, conscious voice for the people in media. We have expanded to other areas such as education. That's another passion I have of mine. And I feel like that passion will be activated as my children come. I don't have no kids right now, but I have a natural passion for education and how we should be teaching our own kids and really taking back our complete narrative of education. So hopefully by then I have the resources and money and we can be investing in that, man. But 20 years down the road, I'm still gonna be fighting the beautiful struggle. I'm still gonna be podcast called I'm on the Team for Black People. So I'm gonna wear this jersey proudly. And every time y'all pass me the ball, I'm gonna score.
Ashe. And you know, please tell the people what you got going on. I know you did, but you know, tell people where they can find you, how they can support you, how they can help tell others about what you got going on.
Yeah. So tell them they can go follow me at Just Eldridge, JustEldridge. That is Just Eldridge on all platforms. Follow me there. And I promise you, you'll find everything that you're looking for about me, or you can shoot me a text and we can have a real conversation. The number is 770-746-8324. Again, that's 770-746-8324. Shoot me a text. We can have a conversation there. I answer any questions. But again, I'm here. I'm thankful. Hopefully I get invited back. I'm going to definitely be back on the pod. You just tell me when, bro.
Man, you're going to definitely be sooner than later. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I know today was a little more professional. But, you know, we got some shit to talk about. we got the nitty gritty. You know, we got some shit to talk about. And what is one last thing you want to tell the melanin people out there all throughout the world?
Melanin people, I want you to fall in love with your blackness. Fall in love with your black family, with your black friends, your black neighbor, your black mailman, that black server, to the pimps, to the hoes, to the lawyers, doctors, and pastors. We are all one in this beautiful tree. And if we connect our roots back in the ground into this dirt that we call America, we'll begin to see more fruit harvest.
Shay, like we say, I'm a link in this chain and it won't break here. Yo, my brother, I love you tremendously, man. You know what I mean? Even though you're the little bro, but you're like the big bro. You know, big shout out to you and yours. You know, your mom, your pops, man, they raised a gentleman. They raised a young god, man. And anytime I could talk to you, I'm always humbled and blessed that I can say you're my friend and you're my brother in the struggle. You know, and you know, to all the people who tune into this to this episode, man, we got a huge shout out to the brother Eldridge Washington, man. That's my brother right there. That's my friend right there. And I'm extremely proud of this young man and the things he's going to accomplish. I'm not saying that I hope for him to accomplish. He's going to. People don't understand words are spells. So I am manifesting that this man is already great and he will only be greater. So to everybody who came on to check in, man, you already know what it is. It's your boy, God with Many Visions. This was another episode that I'm truly proud of. Shout out to Eldridge Washington and everybody who's a part of the Just Eldridge Media. Shout out to Keith.
Shout out to Keith. Time,
we got to give a shout out to Keith. I got to get Keith on the podcast.
The podcast producer in the game.
You know what I mean? I got to get that brother on and celebrate him as well. You know, I got to get that brother on, celebrate it as well. And shout out to all our brothers, part of the Black Man Lab, man. We love you guys. I can't wait to see y'all next week. We finally going to be in person. So I can't wait to see my brothers in communion with one another. You know, you already know, this is Convos with Living Legends. I'm your host, God with Many Visions. Peace to the goddesses. Peace to the gods out here. I love you, my brother, Eldridge Washington. And till we meet again.
Peace. Love you too, bro. Wow.